forward to being there. God bless you richly. Good to be in service again this morning. Just want to say a very happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. And I got a few announcements we want to make. Brother David and Sister Savannah Virgin brought a beautiful baby girl into the world on Thursday. And her name is Elsie Grace Virgin. And she's 20 inches long, weighed 8 pounds, 13 ounces. And they're going to, I believe, let them go home from the hospital today. So just be praying for them that the little baby just be healthy and happy, and the mom will have a quick recovery. And so we're happy for them. They're, with the sisters here at the church, as I said before, we're adding to the church daily, it seems. So it's good. And Sister Vera, she requested prayer for Brother Gene. Want to remember him in prayer. He's been feeling pretty rough lately, so just want to lift him up in prayer. And then Sister Anna's Uncle Tim and Aunt Debbie, they're not feeling well, and also her grandpa has not been able to sleep well, so want to remember those situations in prayer. Sister Joy Duval, she's not feeling well this morning, and Brother Barry Weber, he's also not feeling well this morning. Want to remember them in prayer. And Sister Barbara Stutzman had asked that we pray for Sister Pauline. She was admitted to the hospital, so want to remember that situation in prayer. And the funeral arrangements for Rebecca's Granny Dodd, the visitation is going to be Monday from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Newcomer Funeral Home in New Albany. And the funeral will be Tuesday at 10 a.m. at the Branham Tabernacle. And so please just continue to remember Rebecca and her family in prayer. How many of you have unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring the Lord with an uplifted hand? Amen. I know the Lord sees each and every one. Brother Sam, good to see you this morning. Would you come lead us in a word of prayer over these requests this morning?
Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, dear God, what an honor and a privilege it is, oh Heavenly Father, Lord, to just come to your house of prayer this morning, Lord. To just come in your presence, dear God, Lord, and we just want to hear from you this morning, dear God. And we just have that burning desire in our hearts, dear God, to draw closer to you, Lord, to become more like you, Heavenly Father. For that's what the bride's desire is, Lord, is just to become one with that word, dear God. And we just thank you for this opportunity to be together this morning, Lord. And Father, there are many needs, dear Heavenly Father, read in this pulpit this morning, Lord, so many needs and for sickness and for recoveries and healings, dear God. And we just know, Father, that if you were here, Lord, and in a suit, Lord, right here on this platform, you couldn't do anything, Father, because you have already done it, Father God. And Lord Jesus, may we have the faith this morning to accept that finished work, dear God, to reach out and touch the hem of your garment, Lord, and receive every need, dear God. Healing in the bodies, Lord, physical needs and spiritual needs, Lord. No doubt there are so many, Lord. You saw each hand that was raised this morning, Father, and you're more than able, dear God. And we just prayed, Lord, for that extra helping, Lord God, those handfuls of purpose this morning, Lord. We receive, Lord, that finished work of Calvary. We thank you, dear God. We thank you, Father, that we were in your mind, dear God, from before the foundation of this world, Heavenly Father, Lord. And here we are, Lord. We thank you, dear God, for the manifestation of your word this morning, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, that you just come down in a mighty way this morning, Lord, and just open up our hearts, Lord, to receive this word this morning, Lord. We pray once again your blessings, Lord, on each and every mother this morning, Father, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for the godly mothers, Lord, the true mothers, dear Heavenly Father, who just bring us up, dear God, in this word, dear Lord, to love you, dear Lord. And we just pray a special blessing. Every day is Mother's Day, your prophet said, Lord God, and we just to pray, Lord, that you bless each one, Lord, here present, those who couldn't make it to your house for whatever reason, Lord, and you know each and every heart, Father, and we just pray that you search our hearts this morning, Lord, and we invite you in our midst, Father, Lord, for without your presence, without you here, Lord, we gather in vain, and we just give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and ask these things. Amen. Amen.
Good morning, church. We're going to continue with the Psalm 35. We'll be reading from 15 through the end of the chapter this morning. But in mine adversity they rejoiced and gathered themselves together. Yea, the abjects gathered themselves together against me, and I knew it not. They did tear me and ceased not. Lord, how long wilt thou look on? Rescue my soul from their destructions, my darlings from the lions. Let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me. neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without a cause. Yea, they opened their mouth wide against me and said, Aha, aha, our eye hath seen it. Stir up thyself and awaken and awake to my judgment, even to my cause, my God and my Lord. Let them not say in their hearts, Ah, so would we have it, and let them not say, We have swallowed him up. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, Let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. God bless you. Please be seated.
God bless you, saints. This time we have a group special for you, but while they come, if you could just play that softly, Brother Joshua, I have a couple quotes to read concerning this song. This is God Keeps His Word, 1957. Oh, God loves to get His children in those kind of places. I'm so glad of it. It's the greatest experiences of my life is when I get up against something that I can't get over, around, or under, and just stand still and watch God make a way through it. That's the most glorious time. You have to come to that place. This is The Power of the Devil, 1955. When Noah, 120 years of preaching, yet saved no souls but his own household. He was warned of God and knowed the judgment was coming, and he knowed he could not escape it, but God provided an atonement for him. I love that. God will make a way. Let that soak real deep. No matter what the trouble is, God will make a way. He's called in the Bible Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh means the Lord will provide. Amen. I'm so glad tonight to know that he's still Jehovah Jireh. No matter what the circumstances is, God will make a way of escape. Thus, Satan may pin you in a corner with a cancer, God will make a way of escape. Satan may pin you down under a car, God will adjust, God will make a way of escape. Satan may take away your family from you, but God will make a way of escape. God has a way. This song is called Waymaker. You pray for us.
I worship you, and you Keeper. worship you. We worship you. You are here, forgiving every sin. We worship you. We worship you.
Praise, we serve Him, the mighty Waymaker this morning. Thank you. Truly wonderful to serve a way maker. Amen. God bless you this morning. If the brothers would please come at this time.
Oh, there are some things, well, I may not know. Oh, there are some places I can't. But I am sure of this one thing. Oh, my God is real, for I can feel Him deep within. Oh, my God is real. Oh, He's real in my soul. Oh, my God is real. My God.
it again. My God is real. He's real in my soul. My God is real. He's washed and made me whole. Oh, his love for me, church, it's life. Just how you felt when my Jesus took all your sins away. Oh, but since that day, yes, since that very hour, my God's been real. Oh, and I feel His Holy Ghost high. Clap of praise this morning. You love Him this morning?
Amen.
If you haven't experienced Him in the way that we were singing about just there, that He's real, oh my, I'd like to sit down and talk to you for a while after service. Amen. He's real. Amen. You know, we've got photographic proof in this age to prove that He's real. Amen. I'm not just talking about this picture over here, although I thank God for that. Amen. I thank God that He came down and had His picture taken with His prophet. But, you know, we've got photographs, we've got x-rays of crooked spines before and after prayer, the difference. We've got photographs of a sister with cancer on her head before prayer and within 24 hours completely gone. Amen. We've got photographs of things and testimonies of things and documents of things that science can't explain, the doctors can't explain, but you know, I'm just a homeschooled nobody that don't know hardly nothing, but I can explain it for them if they just let me. Right. Amen. It's because my God is real.
Amen.
Amen. He's real this morning. Aren't you thankful to be able to serve Him in that way, to know Him in the power of His resurrection? Amen, amen. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. Certainly enjoyed the special this morning and appreciate all the efforts. They put a lot of time and effort into doing that, and appreciate the musicians and the different ones that sacrificed their time so that they could be a blessing today to you and mine, just to feel His presence here. Talk about a Mother's Day present. Amen. I don't care how good a present your husband might have been able to buy you or what all he did for you. To be able to bring you into the presence of God this morning, I think, is the greatest. Mother's Day, Father's Day, Christmas, Easter, New Year's, whatever it be. Just let me be in His presence. Amen. I'd rather have that than anything in the world. So, amen. Turn with me, if you would, to Proverbs. I want to read a couple of verses from there this morning. Typically, I'm not very traditional on Mother's Day. I don't usually take a Mother's Day service as far as a sermon on mothers. But you know, I find if you're so anti-traditional that you never do anything traditional, then that becomes a tradition. So, so we got to keep, you know, pulling one over on the devil every once in a while. So I want to speak to you this morning with the help of the Lord on the importance of mother. The importance of mother. Proverbs 29 and verse 15 to begin with. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Turn back a few pages to Proverbs 22 and want to read verse 6 together. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Amen. Let's just bow our heads together this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to thank you this morning for, Lord, every family that's represented, Lord, every mother that's here in your divine presence, Lord, may you just give them a special blessing today. Lord, as we know, as Brother Branham stated, every day should be Mother's Day, but yet, Lord, we set this time aside. Maybe it's just a holiday or a tradition or whatever we would call it, but Lord, we do want to try to spend a little time, Lord, speaking of the mothers today. And Lord, I just ask that you would bless them and be with them. Lord, may the words that are spoken today, Lord, no doubt many of them need encouragement. And we recognize that they are an encouragement to their families, to their children, to their husbands. And Lord, we find that when there's someone who's an encourager, whether it's a pastor, whether it's a deacon or a trustee or Sunday school teacher, whether it's just a good housewife or a mother, a father, a husband, whatever it would be, someone who's an encourager in the family or an encourager in church, if Satan can beat that person down to a place where they can't encourage others, he would like nothing better than that. But Lord, may we just receive encouragement from you this morning, so that we could be an encouragement to others as well, Lord. And just ask that you'd be with us today. Lord, give me the words to speak. I'm inadequate in my own, but Lord, you're more than able. So we ask you to come on the scene this morning. May it not just be the words of a man or the thoughts of a man, but may you come our way this morning. Just speak to hearts, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The church said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. Good to be in church this morning.
Amen.
Amen. You know, when we think of mother, you know, none of us would be here without mother. Adam was the only one that, you know, was able to come this way without a mother. And even the Lord Jesus, even though God spoke and created the germ and created the egg and all of that, yet there was still a woman that he came through. And so we thank God for mothers. Without them, you know, as I said, we wouldn't even be here. But, you know, to be a mother is more than just being an incubator. To be a father is more than just to be able to say that you had some children. But to be a real father or a real mother is to be a part of the child's life and to have an impact and an influence on them. And we'll look maybe in a little while at the different ones and some of the different ones in Scripture and in history that their mothers had such an impact on them. But Brother Branham says this in The Influence of Another in 1962. He says, your family is what you are. You raise your child in a certain environment, it's got a 98% better chance to go right than it has if you bring it up in the wrong way. Bring up a child in the way that it should go, and when it's old, will not depart from it. Be brought up right. Teach your children to do right, to be honest, to be square and fair, even when they're in school. So we recognize there's something about an impact of influence that when a mother is raising a child and instilling godly principles in them, what a blessing that is. We recognize the importance of any mother, but a real godly mother, how much more even is that important to see a mother that will raise her child in the admonition of God, that'll teach it about Jesus and teach it about the Bible and teach it values that'll impact that child for years to come. And sometimes, you know, it's hard, especially some of the teenagers and things like that. You know, we all need to remember, though, sometimes that we were teenagers once as well. I remember, you know, being a teenager, I was just, you know, it was hard to express, you know, what you're going through, and you think you're a man, but yet you're not really quite a man yet, but you think that you are, and you're battling all that and wanting a little bit of your freedom and some things. And so I was a teenager once too. I know some of you can't hardly believe that Brother Hoover and Brother Layton were teenagers once, but they were. It's a true story. Once upon a time, many, many years ago, they were teenagers. And you know, they had godly mothers. Brother Hoover, you know, he had a godly mother that really impacted him, and his grandmother that prayed for him. Brother Layton had was it a grandmother or a great-grandmother? Great-grandmother that impacted him in his life and raised him, and the impacts that they had as raising a child. You know, it's something about it that It sticks with you through your life, and you remember those values. And even sometimes when you don't want to remember those values, you remember those values. And things begin to come back to you. Even when you're running from the Lord, those things are still there. And I look at a quote in a little bit here. You know, I thank God for a prophet. I know a lot of people, they feel like we talk too much about the prophet, and we say too much about the prophet. But I wish they'd go back and read the book of Joshua, because we find that in the book of Joshua, Moses was already dead. But yet, you know, they kept referring to Moses. Moses over and over. God referred to Moses. The angel of the Lord referred to Moses. And so I'm not ashamed to refer to the prophet in this age. And you know, we find that there is so many things as far as an impact that, you know, we can look around and see. And I thank God that he said this. We'll read the quote a little bit later, but I'll go ahead and give you a preview. Now we look at that scripture, train up a child in the way that it should go and it won't depart from it. And we think, you know, we can look around. Many of us sitting right here this morning have family members and things that they've departed from it. But a prophet of God comes along and says, that doesn't mean that they won't depart from it. That means that it won't depart from them. And that even if they leave, that it's still there. It's still a reminder to them of, you know, it's still a condemnation to their conscience and a reminder that even when they go to do things that would be contrary to the word, that's still there. But mommy taught me this and daddy taught me this and the word said this. And if they'll yield to that instead of just continually running from it, that can bring them right back to where they were supposed to be. So I thank God for a prophet to explain some of those things to us that we scratched our heads and didn't understand. And then God sends a prophet along, and it's just so simple. Amen. So simple. God hiding himself in simplicity. 1963, he says, a real mother wants to take her baby to church, and that's the thing you should do. I know there's a lot of people around the message that don't believe this quote, but we still believe it anyhow. Amen. I believe all of it. I want to take all of it. And you know, we find that these things aren't contrary to the scripture. They just complement and amplify the scripture. I was sharing with Brother Trevor in my office a little earlier. There's a Bible translation of the New Testament that a man took directly from the Greek and used a lot of the different Greek words. And Brother Branham refers to it several times in the Church Age book. And it's not that it's contradictory. It's just amplifying a little bit. They have the Amplified Bible, you know, and it just kind of breaks down some of those words that we read over. It may have two or three or four or five or six different variations of that word, and it lets us kind of think about it a little bit more in detail. And so I believe that's what the message did. It didn't add to or take away from the Bible. It just amplified the Bible so that we could understand it a little bit better. Blind Bartimaeus, 1959, he says, I tell you, the thoughts of a good Christian mother is a treasure to a human heart that's never forgotten. Now, I thought this man was supposed to be a woman hater. I thought he hated women. But, you know, that's just because, you know, people with a perverted intellect and a perverted agenda, you pick out two or three of their favorite quotes that they want to take out of context, and they don't read quotes like this. They don't read quotes where he said a wife is the best thing that God could give a man. They don't read quotes where he said, you know, that mother was the fifth gospel and all the great things that he said. You know, he never calls the father the fifth gospel, but he did call the mother the fifth gospel. He said, I tell you, the thoughts of a good Christian mother is a treasure to a human heart that's never forgotten. God, give us more mothers that'll take their children and instead of trying to teach them tap dancing and something to ruin and wreck their life, we'll read the stories of the Bible to them and tell of them of the God of heaven and peace. God knows what we need that God knows that we need that above all things now for motherhood. He tells us that when motherhood is broken, that the nation is broken, that the whole nation hinges on motherhood. And so many things that he says that we could refer to this morning, but I just want to thank God for mothers this morning and remind us of the importance of mothers. And Brother Bram says this in Calling Jesus on the Scene, 1964. He said, and you know, that's a good thing for any mother to do to her child. Says, bring up a child in the way it should go. It would be better than turning on the television and watch some of these here things that goes on the television. You'd be better off if you read him a Bible story because it's impressing his little mind. We recognize, and science even proves, that our subconscious just accepts whatever we feed it. And so we want to make sure we're feeding it the right things. We want to make sure, you know, that's why Brother Branham talks about how that Jesus, and Paul speaks of it as well, how Jesus was the high priest of our profession. Brother Branham said that word profess and confess, the same word, the high priest of our confession, and the importance of not having a negative testimony, because if you tell your subconscious a negative testimony long enough, it'll believe it. But if you tell your subconscious a positive testimony long enough, it'll believe that as well. And we find that even doctors and science proving that if two people go into the hospital with the same diagnosis, the same disease, the same level that they're at on the disease, and one goes in with a positive attitude and the other one goes in with a negative attitude, the one with the positive attitude has about a 90% better chance of surviving than the one that goes in with a negative attitude. I'd like to take that a step further. I'd like to remind you that, you know, those of us that come to church, you that come to church with a positive attitude have a 99.9% chance of having a better experience at the church service than those that come with a negative attitude. Somebody coming with the desire, oh, Lord, I just need some help this morning. Lord, I need to hear from you. I need some encouragement. I need Brother Furman, God, to just lay something on his heart to sing that's just going to snap me out of this down that I've been in, this dreariness and depression. I need the musicians just to play anointed. I need Brother Nathan or one of the minister brothers to get up under the anointing or to pick a tape that we know is anointed and just to go in and I just need something from the throne this morning. I tell you, you'll come out so much happier and so much better when you leave the service than you came in. Well, I don't think I'll get nothing out of the service today. You know, I'm tired and I don't really like the way they've been doing things lately anyhow. And you mumble and grumble and complain. How's God going to do anything for you when you come with a negative attitude? Oh my, sometimes we get here and well, we made it here. We'll just sit here and see what happens. You know, I don't want to waste my time coming just to sit and see what happens. I want to be a part of the service. Amen. Whether I'm preaching, whether I'm singing, whether I'm sitting on a pew watching somebody else do it, I want to get something out of the service and I want to contribute something to the service. You know, whether you're on the back pew or the front pew or the platform or down in the basement, you can be a part of the service. Oh my, now I know a lot of sisters think that their ministry is in the basement, but I'd just like to remind you that you're as out of order when the service is going on as a brother would get up and speak in tongues and interpret. Amen. Well, praise the Lord, that didn't go over good, but... Hey man, I know some sisters, they think they've got a ministry in the women's bathroom or down in the fellowship area or out in the vestibule to encourage people while the service is going on. But if Brother Jimmy got up and began to speak in tongues while I was preaching or while Brother Furman was singing, you'd come to me and you'd say, now Brother Jimmy was out of order. He interrupted the service. The worship service was going on and the presence of God was dealing with the people in the sanctuary and he interrupted the service. And you know what? You'd be right if he didn't wait for the proper time to do it. Which thank God he's been able to. And we thank God for the messages that have come forth. But you'd get all over me and on him if he did that. But then some of you go around and try to preach to other people while the preaching's going on up here. Try to preach to other people while the worship service is going on. God could be dealing with them right in here. Now don't get me wrong. You can fellowship and you can encourage as much as you want out in the parking lot after or before service. Or in the bathroom or in the basement after or before service. But while this service is going on, why don't you let God deal with them in here? Because that's his provided order to do it. You say, oh, bless God. God led me to do it. Well, God wouldn't lead you to do something contrary to his word. You remember that lady sitting there? Brother Branham said she jumped up and spoke in tongues and there was no interpretation. He said, now, sister, I believe that that was from God. But if you'd just wait until the proper time for that message to come forth, I believe God was in it. He did it so nice. You know, he corrected her, but yet in love. Said, I'm not saying that some of you sisters don't have a right to encourage somebody or that God isn't using you to do that. I'm just trying to remind you of the right time to do it. Well, praise God. Elisha the prophet, 1956. Here some time ago, I was reading an article where there was a home and five boys was born in this home. And as soon as their oldest one got old enough to go to the Navy, off to the Navy he went. The second one followed the next one. Until all the whole five went away to the Navy and there was no Marines or Navy men in their family. The mother and father couldn't understand just why these people, these boys, everyone wanted to go to the Navy. There was a real fine combing investigation made of this, and come to find out in the bedroom where these boys was all brought up in the bedroom, in this bedroom there's a beautiful big picture hanging there of a big ship sailing on a quiet, calm sea. And it so impressed the boys as they went to bed at night looking at this picture. It was on their mind to sail that quiet, soothing sea. And along the morning when they arose, the first thing they could look at was that ship making her way through the quiet, calm sea. And it impressed the boys so that each one of them become a sailor. He said, now if a picture of a ship will impress a boy to become Navy men, sailors of the sea, what ought the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ do? See? Always have the right thing before your children. And we wonder why sometimes, you know, we see neurotics and nervous and juvenile delinquents and people walking in shooting up schools and things, when on their walls they got pictures of zombies and pictures of aliens and pictures of all kinds of freaky things, and they stick their head in a game where they're blowing up and shooting things all day long. Watch movies where there's all kinds of perversion and filth going on, and then wonder why these little teenage girls wind up present. It's what you projected before them. He should always have the right thing before your children. Oh my God, help us. Bring up a child in the way that it should go. See, bring it up and teach it right. It'll certainly won't depart from it. Why we're not a denomination, 1958. Bring up a child in the way it should go, and when he gets old, it'll not depart. And that's true. There may be some times that he may depart from it, but it won't depart from him, see. It'll always stay with him. That early training and whatever he's been brought up to do, it'll certainly stay with him. You know, there's something about training. We're creatures of habit. And there's something about training. You know, there's different scientific tests and things. You know, they've got Pavlov's dog and different things where they train a dog to, you know, the sound of a bell, they would feed it. And then they found out when they would ring the bell, the dog would automatically begin to salivate before the food was even there because it was a creature of habit. And we find out that we're creatures of habit. And, you know, they did a study with some policemen, and there was a shooting in Los Angeles years ago. And they found out that these men, they were outmanned and outgunned, these policemen, and almost all of them was massacred. But when they went to go and check the policemen, they had empty cartridges in their hands. And they thought, why on earth do these men have these empty cartridges in their hands? And they were trained in when they were going to school to be in police academy, and as well when they were doing their training and doing their target practices and things, they were trained to pick up their empty rounds. And here they are out in the middle of a gunfight and going around picking up empty rounds because it was so embedded in them by habit. And many of them died that didn't have to because habit just kicked in that moment of intense stress and panic. And they were just going around doing what they normally would do. And so they told them, don't ever let those policemen, when they're shooting, have somebody else sweep up the range and pick up the bullets. Don't train them to do that. And we find we're creatures of habit. And those things that are impressed upon us as a young child, it's hard sometimes for us to break away, whether they're good or whether they're bad. What is it? It's something, you know, a child is like a sponge and it just soaks up whatever it's fed. So you can feed it good things about the Lord, or you can feed it negativity and that everybody's out to get them and that everything's terrible and everybody hates you and all this stuff. You can feed them that and they'll grow up believing that, and you'll deter that child from a lot of things that it could have done. Or you can project a positive atmosphere in the home. Oh my, to see people, you know, sometimes they're so down on their children, they're constantly just negative, negative, negative. I believe in correcting children. Now, I know we've got people around the message and even right around this church that apparently don't believe in correcting their children, but I do believe in that. But I don't believe in always giving negative and never giving positive. You know, I've worked on jobs like that. Thank God my new boss, you know, he treats me a little bit better than that. You know, sometimes he has to give me some negative to correct me. It's not all, you know, just love and fluff like a lot of these denominational televangelists try to project it. But, you know, sometimes he has to come and correct us, and sometimes that correction is hard. And, you know, we're taught that correction begins at the house of God, and we find out that's why there's a lot of families that don't have any correction, because they don't even go to the house of God. So if correction begins there, why, and they don't go there, why would it be in the home? But yet I believe in correction. I believe God does correct us, but yet God also turns around and expresses his love to us. Amen. in his word, in his book, in this holy book that we have that we believe is infallible, he comes along and he does correct us and he chastises us. And the Bible says that every son of God, that every son that cometh to God must receive correction and chastisement and those things. But yet God isn't just constantly correcting. You know, we find out this is a love letter as well. And he's got some encouragement for us in here, and he's got some positive things. And I think if he's our father in the heavenly spiritual aspect, that we as earthly fathers and mothers should be able to project that to our children as well, that there's a time for correction and there's a time for reinforcement. There's a time for positive reinforcement to come along and say, hey, you're doing a good job. Hey, I appreciate it. Hey, you know, we've been praying about your attitude and you talking back and things like that. And I just want to tell you, this week you have done an immense job, and I thank you for that. We've been on you for weeks about cleaning up your room, and you just went and did it this week, and we didn't even have to ask you. I want to thank you for doing a good job. I want to thank you for helping out around, doing your chores, and helping mom out without her even having to ask you. Positive reinforcement goes a long way, too. I worked for a boss one time. Brother Stephen knew him, and I think Brother Aaron knew him. And he was great at micromanaging. He was wonderful about getting things done, but he was terrible about morale, because it didn't matter how good or how fast or how hard or how long you worked, it was never good enough. And he always had negative feedback and criticism, but he never, no matter how good of an effort you put forth, you never had any good positive feedback. And so what did that encourage you to do? Well, if I'm going to get negative feedback no matter what I do, then I'll just do the negative. And just go in and put in my 40 hours, do what I got to do to get paid and get in and get out. That was the attitude and the morale that he set, because there was never any encouragement of, hey, attaboy, you did a good job. Amen. Brother Stephen would have blown him away as a manager. This guy really shouldn't have been a manager. He should have been off working by himself, beating himself up somewhere instead of trying to lead other people. But Brother Stephen, when he was my boss, you know, there was times that he had to come around and correct me. There were times that he had to come around and say, hey, I need you to do a better job. I need you. Usually it was, Nathan, I need you to get here earlier. I need you to get here on time. Some habits, as I said, die hard. Some habits are hard to change. There was times he had to get on me as my boss, but there were other times that he said, hey, that was outstanding what you did this week. I appreciate that. And you know what that did? That set a good balance in the workplace. Hey man, I believe it's good to set a good balance, not only in the workplace, but in our homes and in our churches. Right. Hey man, if I just got up here every service and it was just hellfire and brimstone and judgment and correction and all that, eventually, you know, we'd see like a lot of these other legalistic churches around the message, and they trickle down to few and fewer people, because people get tired of getting beat over the head and corrected all the time. Every once in a while, they like to hear, hey, you're doing a good job. Hey, I appreciate you coming out to church on Sunday morning. Hey, you know, I really appreciate when you come on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights. That's wonderful. I appreciate that. And I appreciate you getting here on time and praying for the service. And I appreciate you pulling on the gift. And I appreciate you amen in the word, whether it's me or Brother Branham or Brother Layton or Brother Hoover or Brother Arnie, Brother Trevor, guest minister, whoever it be. I appreciate those things. There has to be a little positive with the negative. Oh, my. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, this is the first commandment with a promise. Of all the Ten Commandments, this commandment has a promise. Now, there's other commandments, don't do this and don't do that, and they don't have a promise with them. But this commandment, God says, if you honor your father and mother, then your days will be long upon the land thy God giveth thee. Now, every one of us, you know, ever since, Ponce de Leon, I think it was, that went sailing looking for the fountain of youth. And every one of us, you know, we all want to go to heaven, but none of us wants to go today, right? I mean, if the rapture comes, I'm ready. But if it means life leaving my body, that not so much. You know, we understand that we all want to take that step and go into a rapture, but we don't want to go with the rattles of death in our lungs, and we don't want to go and suffer. We don't want to be fed to the lions or burn at the stake or exploded in an explosion or something. We don't want to go some tragic way. None of us, if we be honest with ourselves, want to go that way or are ready to go that way, but yet we all want to go see God. But there's something about it, self-preservation. We're trying every vitamin, every pill, every vitamin water and healthy thing that we can do, and diets and regimens and cleanses and all kinds of stuff to keep this guy as good as he can be as long as he can be here. Self-preservation. And God says, hey, I've got an easy tip to a long life. Honor your father and your mother. Now, you can read all kinds of advertisements. Take this cream and it'll make your skin look 10 years younger. And take this pill and it'll make you live longer and make you healthier and do all this. And all kinds of false advertisements out there. But God's advertisements aren't false. Amen. His advertisements aren't false. So I take him at his word. Amen. And I'm trying my best to honor my father and mother. Now, I haven't always done it. And I maybe don't always do it. And maybe they can give you some testimonies after service. But I am trying to honor my father and mother. Amen. And you know what? I don't just do that because the Bible says it. Although I believe even if the Bible just said it, we should do it. But they deserve it as well. I know maybe there's some of you that you was raised in a home that was a lot of negativity and a lot of troubles and things, and maybe you just had to do it out of obedience to the scripture, but I thank God that I don't just have to do this because I'm obeying the scripture, but I can do it because my parents deserve honor and respect. Amen. They raised me in the right way, and they taught me about the Lord and about the message, and I thank God for their stand, and I thank God for their attitude, and so it's a little easier maybe for me. And you know, God just blesses me, Brother Layton. I don't know why, but hey, you know, it seems like a lot of things come easier to me than a lot of people, Brother Sam. I don't know what it is. It's always, but you know, I had a friend growing up, my best friend for about 15 years. He told me, he said one day, he said, you know what? If anything goes right, it goes right in Nathan's favor. I said, well, you know, I can't help that, but you know, blessed with a good family, almost all of my dad's family on my dad's side following the message, and almost all of my brothers and sisters in church, all of them but one, goes right here to this church. I can't imagine what that would be like, Brother Hoover, to sit under your brother as a pastor. I can't imagine what would it be like to sit under your son as a pastor, but they do it. And they don't just do it because I'm their son or their brother or their cousin or whatever it is. They do it out of love and respect. And I love and respect them for it. Amen. I know there's a lot of ministers that their families have been against them. Their wives have dragged tooth and nail fighting them for being a preacher and from traveling and from doing all these different things. And I've got a wife that says, hey, if it's God, you go right ahead. If I can go, I'll go with you. If I can't, you go by yourself. You know what a blessing that is? You know how easy that makes it on me? You know how easy they make it on me to fulfill these scriptures of honor your father and mother? How easy some of these things come? I thank God. You know how easy it is for me to have a church that's not constantly fighting and backbiting and arguing and mumbling and complaining about every little detail of the church? There's a lot of pastors that beat their head against the wall with congregations like that. Now, I can't claim that everything just runs perfectly here at Church of the Open Door, and there's not squeaky wheels, and sometimes we need to oil a few things here and there and do a few things, but I thank God for a congregation that's pulling with me instead of against me. Because I've seen pastors that they've beat their brains out trying to preach the word, and half the congregation just pulling against them as hard as they can. I thank God we don't have to deal with that here. Amen. Amen. God's made it pretty easy for me. So, you know, I don't have any complaints this morning. My only complaints are this direction. I could have did better, and I should have did better, and I could have did this, and I could have did that. But as far as my family and our congregation and things like that, I'm blessed this morning. I'm blessed. Somebody wrote me a nasty email a while back accusing me of all kinds of different things, but I could amen them 100%, Brother Layton, on one thing. They said, you are so blessed to have a Christian wife that stands beside you. I said, amen. It's the only thing I agreed with in the whole email, but I could say amen and shout around the living room to that. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 20. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. Brother Bram says, and it shall be even as it was told me, 1950. I think mother, the good true mother, is the fifth gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, mother. Mother gets them first. That's the one who brings them up first is mother. You talk about a compliment. You talk about something. The fifth gospel, my. And some of you sisters, I know that Satan would love to discourage you. Some of you that still have little ones that are in school and things like that, he would love to beat you down. You know, and in the message, we get our molds that, you know, you've got to come through this mold. You got to do this way, and you got to do that way. You got to go to this church. You got to go to this school. You got to do this way. You got to do that way. But, you know, I don't find that in the message. But Satan would love to beat you up whether you're sending your kid to school somewhere, a public school, a Christian school, a private school, whether they're doing school online at home or whether they're homeschooling, whatever they're doing. Satan would just love to come and beat you up and discourage you no matter what you do. You know, it does. I found one thing about Satan and the people that he anoints. It doesn't matter what you do, good, bad, or indifferent, they're going to have something negative to say about it. Oh, my. I wish I would have gave him more roses while he was living, but let me just brag on Brother Collins for a minute. When I sat under him for a pastor's years, and there was things Brother Collins and I disagreed on, but that wasn't why we left the church. We left the church because there had been so much contention between the people and the leadership of the church that we just felt like we had to. But Brother Collins, you know, it got to a point there for a while where it didn't matter. He could come out and say, "Good evening, friends," and half the people would criticize it. He could come out and say the sky was blue, and half the people would say, "Oh, no, it's grayish pink today. It's not really blue." You know, they would argue whatever it would be. Good, bad, or indifferent. Didn't matter what it was. Something constantly negative. You realize that's what the devil does? Doesn't matter what you do. You pray and you feel led to do something. You go to a certain church. The devil say you made the wrong decision. You get together and you make a decision for your family to buy a home or buy a vehicle or to go to a certain job or a certain city or a certain town. The devil will come and say, "Oh my, you sure messed up there." You send your child to a certain school or you feel led to do a certain way, and maybe even different children with different different characteristics and things and different personalities. Maybe you feel led to do one thing for one and one thing for another one, send one over here and one over there, and God's led you to do that, and Satan comes and whispers in your ear, "You're just a big idiot. You don't know what you're doing. You're just flying by the seat of your pants." And, "No, I prayed and asked God about this," but he won't let it go at that. He'll beat you over the head day and night.
Come on, brother.
So no doubt these mothers that are sitting here this morning, Satan would love to discourage them. "Oh, you're doing it wrong. You're raising your children wrong." Or those of you that have raised them, "Oh, you did something wrong. You should have did something different. You should have did that." But a prophet of God comes and he says, "Hey, you're the fifth gospel." He doesn't call you an idiot. He doesn't call you a failure. He doesn't say that you're just a making mistakes left and right. He says, "Hey, you're the fifth gospel." So who are you going to believe this morning? You going to believe the word of God? You going to believe a prophet? You going to believe what Jesus said about you? Or are you going to believe what, you know, some devil in your ear says to you? Amen. I'll take God's word. I'll take God's word for it. Oh, my. I want to try to encourage these mothers here this morning. The impact that they're having on these children. And maybe they want to, you know... Brother Bram talks about in the prayer line there, sometimes there'll be people come through, maybe a man up in age, and he's given his heart to the Lord. He said, "You know, maybe some mother's prayer that's already gone on beyond the curtain of time being answered right here this morning." Maybe she never got a chance to see that, but the prayer was answered anyhow. Amen. We look and we wonder and we question sometimes. Hey, God knows what he's doing. God's ways are better than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He knows what he's doing. He's got it under control. So don't let the devil beat you up this morning and tell you you're a failure. You just keep praying and seeking God and putting the word before your children. Oh, my, it'll have an impact. Maybe you won't even see it while you're still here alive on earth, but it'll have an impact.
Amen.
The voice of God in this last days, 1963, he said, "The commercial world has picked it up and they make millions of dollars, Mother's Day. Bunches of flowers. Why, every day should be an honorable day to mother. She's off somewhere old. Go see her. That'll be worth more than all the flowers you could send her or anything else." You know, I love a message of simplicity. It's just so simple. If we would follow this, follow the Bible and follow the message, you know, I can't think of a better way to live. I can't think of a better way to live. You know, out here, Satan paints pictures and he'll show you billboards and posters and signs, and they'll advertise the best cigarettes, what they call, or the best alcohol, or the best this or the best that. And he paints you such a pretty picture out there. And what do you find? Heartache, physical pain, disease, death, all these things. He's always painted you such a beautiful picture. But Jesus just gives us the simple truth. And if we would just follow it in its simplicity, you know, guidelines for our day-to-day life. How to treat our wife, it's right there. Got quotes, got scriptures. How to treat our children, how to raise our children, it's right there. Best self-help book I could give you, it's not 10 steps to how to do this or that. I've got a great self-help book here for you this morning. Simple steps, how to raise your family, how to treat your loved ones, how to treat your parents, how to treat those around you, how to treat those that despitefully use you is in this book. Hey man, I don't have a 10-step help book for that I can find on Amazon, 10 steps to how to treat those that despitefully use you, but Jesus already told us how to anyhow. Oh my, steps on how to treat those that hate you and despise you and would kill you if you had a chance. You can't find a lot of books on that, but I got a good one here that I'll give you for free if you want. We've got plenty of them.
Right.
Steps to how to live a, a successful, happy life. You know, people pay hundreds and hundreds and even thousands of dollars going to seminars and things. How to have a successful life. How to have a happy life. How to have a happy marriage. How to have a happy this. How to have a happy that. How to have a better this and a better that. And you know what? Matthew 6:33. You want some self-help this morning? I'll give it to you free of charge. You say, no, it wasn't. I already put money in the offering plate, but I didn't solicit it. So this is free of charge this morning. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all, A-double-L, all these other things will be added to you. You want a happy home? Seek him first. You want a bigger home? Seek him first. You want a bigger car? Seek him first. Amen. You say, well, you mean if I seek, you preaching prosperity, Brother Nathan? You mean if I seek God first, I can have a bigger, newer, nicer car? No, I can't promise you that, but I do promise you if you seek him first, he'll either provide it or he'll show you why that it's not good for you to have it. Amen. Seek him first and he'll work it all out. Amen. Amen. People pay all kinds of money for stuff like that. If they just come to me, I could tell them. Matthew 6:33. There's your answer. God bless you. Have a good day. Faith cometh by hearing, 1954. He says, how could he, after being indoctrinated down there and all that stuff poked into him by those Egyptian scholars, how to embalm the body and how to do this and eat garlic and everything else they had down there and all the cures and put-ons they had down there in Egypt, how could he ever get that, all of that, out of him? You know why? Because he had a godly little mother that set him on her knee down there, off from one side and from all them scholars, and said, Moses, you are chose of the Lord. God gave you to me and your promise. We see God on you, and someday you will deliver your brothers. He said, hallelujah, faith cometh by hearing, hearing from the word of God. My, what an impact that some positive reinforcement had on this little boy Moses. Somebody tell him, hey, God chose you. God loves you. God's going to use you. And Brother Branham said, how did he get through all that garbage that was forced down his throat in Egypt? Because he had a godly little mother that instilled these things in him. Right. Now, no doubt Satan beat Jochebed up one side and down the other. You're a failure. My, you must be insane. Sending your baby out there in the midst of crocodiles in a little ark. You must have lost your mind. You must be the biggest idiot mother that I've ever seen. And no doubt he came and lied to her and told her all kinds of things. And she said, look, we don't know what else to do. We've prayed and we've sought God and they're killing the babies. And this is what we feel led to do as a family. And no doubt he beat her up every second that that ark was in the water. You made the wrong decision. You shouldn't have did that. You shouldn't have listened to your husband. You shouldn't have did this. You shouldn't have did that. No doubt he'd worried her. Oh my, you're a failure as a mother. You're a terrible mother. And all of a sudden there was a knock at the door. She said, oh goodness, what is it? Is the baby, was it an alligator? What was it? Said, no, I need you to come quick. Pharaoh's sister wants you to come and be a nursemaid to the baby. What baby? Our baby. You mean God protected it? Oh, yes, mother. Not only did he protect it, but he brought it right up into Pharaoh's palace. And not only does she want you to come and feed this baby that's your baby, she wants to pay you for it. She said, boo, devil. All right. Boo, devil, I can't believe I was about to listen to you and go looking for that little ark in the bulrushes there. God had it under control the whole time. Some of you mothers, Satan tries to lie to you. Just tell him, boo, devil, this morning. Boo, devil, I prayed, I sought God, I put the message, I put the Bible, I put the Lord Jesus before my children, and I did the best that I could. And I see maybe they've strayed here, maybe they've strayed there, but I'm trusting in the God that brought me from where I was.
Amen.
Amen. He's still the same God this morning. Oh my, think of the impact that she had on this little Moses that became a leader that would come and deliver 2 million people out of slavery, out of bondage. Didn't have a tank, didn't have a cannon, didn't have a machine gun, had an old crooked staff in his hand. But you know what? He was better off with that crooked staff and God behind him than all the tanks and military advancements and machine guns he could have had. You realize you're equipped with the same thing this morning? You may not have a staff, you may not have a rod, but you've got the same word of God that he followed. Amen. You've got the same Spirit of God if you're baptized by the Holy Spirit working in and through you that he had. even to the simplest, to the youngest, to the housewife, to whatever it would be. Don't limit God. So we get this mentality around the message sometimes that if we're not careful, we try to put it all off on the prophet, or we put it all off on the pastor, or the deacons, or somebody else to do it. But you recognize you have a part to do as well. Jochebed could have said, well, you know, I'm not a prophet, I'm not the pastor, I'm not a deacon, I'm not even a Sunday school teacher, I'm just a little old slave housewife, and the Egyptians come and they beat my husband, and I can't even go out of the house without being in fear, and how am I ever going to do anything for God? And she raised the greatest deliverer that had ever been to that time. Amen. Little Hannah, I was thinking of her last night when I was thinking about this. Here she was, barren, couldn't have children. She prayed God, said, God, If you'll just let me have a child, I'll dedicate it to the Lord. And she got to speaking in tongues there at the altar, and the priest thought she was drunk, but God gave her a baby anyhow. I read this scripture last night, Sister Savannah. I would have had my wife text it to you if it hadn't been one in the morning, but I figured it was too late, so I thought, well, she'll probably be here tomorrow. I'll just read it. This applies to Hannah back in the Bible. We've got a sister here that this applies to as well. Psalm 113:9. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. Amen. We sang My God is Real. You want some testimonies of it? We've got plenty of testimonies here this morning that My God is Real. Amen. Different ones that these mothers had such impact upon. You know, Abraham Lincoln, I don't have all these up here on the slides, but if you go back on the website later, I'll have all these in the sermon notes and the sources where I got them from and the quotes and all that. Abraham Lincoln said, all that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother, a mother that would raise him. Now, he's probably not even, there, historians debate over which mother he was referring to, but I don't believe he was even referring to his literal birth mother, because she died when he was just a toddler. But his stepmother, they had such a close connection. She was the one that taught him to read the Bible and Fox's Book of the Martyrs and different ones, and instilled these attributes into his character, that now he becomes president of the entire United States and making decisions. And he, like Moses, comes and frees the slaves. And he said, all that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. There was a man we all know, or most of us know. Some of the really young ones may not know him, but they'll learn about him in school if they haven't already. A man by the name of Thomas Edison. He was famous for inventing the right kind of light bulb. And he was famous for inventing the best type of phonograph and different great inventions that he made. But we find, if you look into history, that Thomas Edison had only went to a formal school for a few months when his mother, Nancy Edison, decided to pull him out of public school and homeschool her son because his teacher had described him as being addled. Now, this word addled, if you look it up in the dictionary, means unable to think clearly, confused. He pulls one of the greatest inventors that the world has ever known out of his classroom, says, he's addled. I can't teach him nothing. He won't pay attention. All these things. And she says, hey, well, I'll take care of that. I'll just take him home and teach him myself. And he became one of the greatest inventors that had ever been. You know, I love to find little things like that, because then when people criticize you or me or somebody else, I can think, you know what? Usually the people that are criticizing people like that, usually those people go on and do something good. Because as Brother Jack told us years ago, he said, people don't throw sticks or rocks at a tree that doesn't have fruit, but when there's a tree with some fruit on it, they try to throw a stick or whatever they can to knock that fruit off. Walt Disney, one of the first newspapers that he wrote for, he was trying to draw little comics and things, and they fired him because they said he had no original creativity. How'd you like to have been that guy? How'd you like to have been the guy that cut Michael Jordan from his high school basketball team, said he can't play? Sometimes we fail to see the potential. And this teacher failed to see the potential in Thomas Edison. And so his mother homeschools him. And Thomas Edison said years later, my mother was the making of me. She was so true, so sure of me. And I felt that I had someone to live for, someone I must not disappoint. The memory of her will always be a blessing to me. Can you imagine? I think 1,000 different strings and things that he tried. Maybe about 900 in, he was ready to give up, and he thought, no, I'm not going to be a failure. I've got a mother that had confidence in me. Pablo Picasso. Now, I don't like his paintings. Maybe some of you all do, but he's a famous painter. If you had one of his paintings, you would never have to work again if you could find somebody to buy it. But he said, when I was a child, my mother said to me, if you're a soldier, you will become a general. If you're a monk, you will become the pope. Instead, I was a painter and became Picasso. But she instilled something in him from a young age. You can do it. You're not a failure. You're not a loser. You're not all these things that your little petty school friends call you names and things like that. You're going to make it. God's got his hand on you. You're an overcomer. You can do something. You can do something to impact this world. They were instilling these godly mothers, and even some of them, maybe not even godly mothers, but just good, typical, average American or whatever mothers that instilled things in these young men. Some of you are familiar with the Yom Kippur War of 1973. And during this war, Israel was fighting against Syria, and Syria was being backed by nine Arab states, as well as the Soviet Union. And during this war in 1973, there was 180 Israeli tanks that faced over 1,400 Syrian tanks. It was the largest tank battle since World War II. And they had, on another front out there, they had a lot of infantry and battle going on, hand-to-hand combat and things like that with the infantry. There was 436 Israeli infantry poised to defend against 80,000 Egyptian soldiers. And these attacks by Egypt and Syria, they were being backed, as I said, by nine different Arab states as well as the Soviet Union. Now, Secretary of State Henry Kissinger, if you go back and read history, he made the statement, he said, let the Israelis bleed a little. Let's just leave them go and let them bleed a little. But one October morning in 1973, Israel Prime Minister Golda Meir picks up the phone in Israel and calls President Richard Nixon on his private phone at 3 a.m. in the morning, our time. And she begins to plead with him, look, they're going to wipe us out. We're outmanned. We're outgunned. And all these things she begins to describe to him at 3 in the morning, wakes up the President of the United States. And he testified later. He said, I could hear my mother's voice speaking to me. He said, I could almost hear my mother's voice. She used to read me the Old Testament. And as a young boy growing up, his mother, she was a Christian. She was actually a Quaker. And she told him, she said, someday, Richard, you're going to be in a position of power to where you can save the Jewish people. And she said, when that day comes, you must do everything in your power. And he's talking on the phone to the Prime Minister of Israel, and he remembers this. He made the statement later. He said, of everything that ever happened in my presidency, he said, I felt that that moment was the reason that I was president. His cabinet, he goes and tells them, look, we've got to do something for Israel. And his cabinet begins to push back on him because they said, look, if we go into this and the Soviets backing the Egyptians and the Syrians, we're going to get in a conflict with the Soviet Union that we don't want. And so they said, look, we can't send a large bunch of help. Let's just send a few little things. And Nixon said, we're going to get blamed just as much for three planes as we are for 300. Later, when he was exasperated because they were being slow to dispatch all of this, he said, use every plane we have, everything that'll fly. And it was Operation Nickelgrass was the name of it. And the U.S. Air Force shipped 22,325 tons of tanks, artillery, ammunition, and supplies. And Israel didn't lose the battle because of a little godly mother that said, Richard, when you can, help Israel. Sometimes we don't realize the impact that we're having on somebody. Sometimes we don't realize just the little things we're instilling in somebody, what an impact that's going to have in eternity. Oh, my. Thinking on Our Way, 1959, Brother Bram says, what's the use of trying to make a home without being a Christian home? He says, start it now. What's the use? What's the use of even, you know, out here in the insanity that's going on in the world, every perverted thing that you can think of, what's the use of even trying if we don't have an absolute, if we don't have something, a tie post, a guideline to guide us through life and a set of rules to govern, to have a house in order, to have a church in order, to have these things in order. What's the use of trying? Well, I thank God that we can. Amen, because we can make it a Christian home. We can have these Christian principles. I know people today, they mock and make fun of it, but I just want to testify. I'm one of the happiest people on the face of the earth today. I'm not one of the richest. I'm definitely not one of the most famous. I've never made it on people's 100 most beautiful people. I'll probably never will. Thank you for not amening so hard there. But I'm happy this morning. I wonder how many people in people's 100 most beautiful people are as happy as I am this morning. I wonder how many billionaires are as happy as I am this morning. I wonder how many multimillionaires can lay in bed at night and have the peace that I can to know that my wife loves me and is standing by me, and that I've got good children that love the Lord, that I have a church family, that God's blessed us with the building. It's not the biggest building. It's not the biggest cathedral. We don't have gold doorknobs and gold chandeliers and nickel-plated everything. But you know what? God blessed us with it. Amen. And I'm happy. You know, I'm happier than if they gave me the Vatican, because it would creep me out to try to worship in there anyhow. I'm happier with this than the Sistine Chapel. Hey, man, I'm happy. You know, I tried one time. I was wanting to get alone and pray. I was working there at Mercer where Brother Stephen had got me on, hired me there. And you know, I was just wanting to find a quiet place to go and pray. And there was a Catholic church that was actually connected kind of through the basement of the building that we worked in. We would go over there sometimes, and they would have like big company-wide meetings. And we would tease that we were going to the belly of the beast, because we'd go into their basement and have these conferences. And so I thought one day, I said, you know, I'm just trying to find a quiet place to pray on lunch. I'll just slip over there and go into that big Catholic cathedral and slip in the back and sit down and pray. And I went over there and I tried my best to pray, Brother Layton. I'd look over here and there was a statue of Mary over here, and over here there was a statue of Peter, and behind me I could hear running water that was supposed to be holy water that the priest had blessed. And I thought, I can't pray in here. Oh my. You say, that's terrible, Brother Nathan. No, I just thank God. I thank God for the light that we walk in. I don't say that to make fun of the Catholic people. But my, you know, as I've said before, even if I could just read history and the news, I think even without a prophet of God, I couldn't have been a Catholic to see all that they've done over the years, all the martyrs that they killed, all the little children that they've molested and things. Surely I would have at least had that much common sense. Now, in all honesty, I'd probably be sitting in a Pentecostal church, though, praying in the same titles and things and baptized in the same titles that they do, so I wouldn't have been that much better off. But thank God for a prophet.
Amen.
Thank God for a prophet. People say, that's offensive, Brother Nathan. You shouldn't say those things. You know, this picture that you have up over here, it's offensive to people. You're going to run people off with that. You know what? I'm sorry, but if that runs them off, maybe we'd be better off without them. They say, why you got a picture of a man hanging in your church? No, you're just not looking high enough. You're not looking high enough. Hey, man, that's a photograph of the Lord Jesus with a man. Now, I respect that man, and I believe he was the greatest prophet that ever walked the face of the earth, but Jesus Christ. And they can call me a fanatic or a fool or a cult member or whatever they want to call me, but I'm happy.
Amen.
I'm happy this morning. Brother Bram said, if I'm crazy, just leave me alone. I'm happier this way than I was the other way.
Right.
Amen. I'm happier. I'm happier, you know, to know that my kids are healthy. To know that my wife is healthy, and that we're all, you know, sometimes we're like the rest of you. Sometimes we make it week to week and month to month. Sometimes the Lord blesses us with abundance, and we don't have to worry about that for a few weeks and different things. But you know what? I'd rather live exactly the way that I am now, in the house that I am now, in the church that I am now, with the group of people that I am now, than to be blessed with billions of dollars and have to sit there and worry, oh my, what about this one over here and what about that one over there? I thank God for the peace that He gives us.
Yeah.
You can't buy peace. Oh, I know we're trying. We send money overseas to this country and that country trying to buy peace. Brother Bram said, they'll blow it back to you in a little bit. You can't buy peace. You can't buy happiness. If you can, go down to the drugstore and get me a few bottles. I can always use more, as happy as I am. But I thank God for a peace that passes understanding. I thank God for godly parents, a godly mother that instilled things in me. Amen. To know right from wrong. To know that God loved me and that He cared about me. And to know that they were, you know, even in my foolishness and in my poor decisions, they still loved me and they still stuck with me. They didn't always agree with me. Brother Bam said, some of those little teenage kids and stuff, he said, you got to think teenage thoughts. He said, you got to be a buddy to them. We forget quotes like that sometimes. We emphasize so much on all the deep doctrinal things. We forget those quotes like, love your neighbor. Treat one another right. Say good things about one another. Amen. It's just as much of the word as the seals or the thunders or the church ages or anything else. Let's not do away with the little things. He said sometimes it's the big things, not the big things we're trying to do, but the little things that we leave undone. Amen. You thankful for godly mothers this morning? Amen. If the musicians would come, I'll try to close. Amen. We're truly blessed. Truly blessed this morning. Praise the Lord. Amen. Sister Tina wrote a testimony. She said, God truly is the way maker, miracle worker, and promise keeper. I am completely migraine free. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's just worship the Lord a little bit together. Amen. Let's bow our heads before we do. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just want to thank you this morning for each and every mother that's represented here today, Lord. Lord, maybe Satan has tried to discourage them, and maybe he's tried to bombard them with thoughts of failure and thoughts of that they've made so many mistakes and that they're doing things wrong. But may you encourage them through your word this morning to keep pressing on, to keep the right things before their children, and to show love and encouragement and positive reinforcement to their children. Lord, we all can use that. I thank you, Lord, that you come along and you do that for your children. Lord, may you be with each one. Be with the fathers. Be with the children. Be with those that are single, those that maybe they've got loved ones that have passed on. Seems like they're almost the only one in the family, Lord. Those that are, Lord, struggling, or those in broken homes, whatever it would be, Father, may you come and just, as we talked about Wednesday night, may you be that wound specialist that comes along with some balm of Gilead and encourages them where they're at and strengthens them, gives them a peace. Lord, we can look back and think back to our godly mothers that raised us, the admonition of Christ, or the different influences that we've had over the years, positive influences, ones that encouraged us to keep pressing on. Lord, we thank you for the encouragers this morning. May we be one all the days of our life. May we encourage somebody else, whether it's on our job or at our school or wherever we would go. May we be encouragers, Father. Use us as you see fit, Lord. May you grant deliverance and victory. May you bind up the brokenhearted. Lord, those that are going through trials, may you come by and just bless them this morning. Maybe some have financial needs or spiritual needs. Whatever it would be, Lord, maybe they're facing decisions in their life. Maybe they've got family troubles, or maybe they've got emotional scars from years gone by that they've never really been able to get past, Lord. May you just move on the scene and comfort them this morning. Give them what they have need of, Lord, I pray. Lord, may our efforts not be in vain, but may they have an impact on eternity, Lord, we pray. Oh, Jesus, just give us grace as we go from this building today, Lord. May we not leave your presence, but protect each one, Lord. Lord, whatever you would have us do, whatever you would have us say, Lord, may we yield to you, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I feel this way this morning. I'm sure you do as well. Let's sing it together. Oh, I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed. Oh, every day that I live, I am blessed. Oh, when I wake up in the morning, till I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed. Let's stand and sing it.
What you came to do, but I came to
Brother Lee, would you come up and dismiss us in prayer? Amen. I know Brother Nathan said it, but I like to sincerely wish every mother here a happy Mother's Day. And we should definitely, my 5-year-old reminded us in the car yesterday that every day should be Mother's Day. So I appreciate that. I'm thankful to have my mom here this morning. God bless you.
Let's all bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, as Brother Nathan was bringing the message this morning, Lord, it wasn't just Brother Nathan, it was you speaking to our hearts. God trying to tell us, Lord, as we serve one another, is how we serve you. Lord, the way that we treat one another is how we treat you. God, I just sitting there thinking about my mom and my dad. And my dad's been gone for a couple of years, and I would give everything I had just to speak to him one more time. God, help us, Lord, just to be able to treat one another the way that we should. And help us to be honorable to our parents and to our moms and our dads as well. Father, give us encouragement, Lord, as we leave here this afternoon, Lord. bring us back expecting something from you. Lord, keep our hearts tender and merciful to one another. God, just help us, Lord. We're needy people, Lord, in this hour. So many trials and tests and temptations. God, help us, Lord, to live a life that would be pleasing to you. Father, we love you. We ask for your help, Lord. Grant it, Father. We give you glory and praise in Jesus' name.
God bless you, saints. You can be dismissed. Let's sing it as we go.
Oh, how.